Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Okay, how much is the temperature supposed to drop?
A few degrees.
Not a few. It's supposed to be in the 30s.
A few degrees?
Yeah.
I'm prepared.
I'm prepared. And how am I? I'm glorious. How are you?
Glorious. Yeah. Glorious.
Or it could be that other dude's glorious. Was it Belly? I think that's his name. He has a glorious song, too. Belly. Look it up, Mike. You'll like it. You like the brother.
Well, by the time... So it says it's 47 right now, so it's dropped
a little bit.
But it's 47. But it's only going to drop to 44 by the time we're here.
Right.
Still overdressed.
This is not overdressed.
Oh, yeah.
How's that overdressed?
Too much winter stuff. You're bumming me out.
That is a light jacket.
Light jacket.
It's not overdressed.
That's something that you like.
What?
You definitely, people wear that on ski lifts, that thing. There's no doubt about it. There's just no doubt.
With a big sweater underneath. I don't have the undergarments.
I'm just saying you're losing your toughness. That's what I'm seeing here. I'm seeing a guy who spends a lot of time down south in the warm weather losing your toughness.
I am prepared because after we're done, I'm hitting a hot yoga class.
Oh.
And so some of the clothing will have to come off.
No, excuse me.
Because it will be sweaty. And then I will be out in the 44-degree weather.
All right.
Boom. I'm prepared.
I understand.
Okay?
That. I got you. All
Paul,
right. Fine.
Thank you. Glad you're concerned.
Yeah, well, of course I am.
Wow.
I mean, I see you. I spend more time talking to you than anybody else in my life.
Huh.
Think about it. Right? So I am concerned about you. I mean, I spend 3 hours speaking to you every day, which is more, I would say, than my wife. I don't speak to her that much every day. I see her for a longer period of time, but we don't. Yeah, it's a lot. We say stuff constantly
to
each other, me and you.
She used to be seen, not spoken to.
No, that's not what I meant.
You are to be seen and not heard
That's not what I meant.
That's what you said.
It's not what I said at all.
That's what you meant.
No, not
that's
even.
That's what I said, and that's what I meant.
Well, that's
you.
You
just for looking at.
No, that's
don't
that's,
speak.
See, that's.
Where's my sandwich?
See, that's you.
Huh?
I'm not saying any of that stuff.
I want
that's
some
what
French
you said.
Bread.
No.
Okay.
What I said was
and none of that healthy crap.
Because we're on the radio, we have to speak to each other.
Oh, that's
the time.
What you're talking about. I thought you were talking about your relationship.
No, at all.
Oh, so you allow her to speak?
Of course.
Oh, okay.
I
was just wondering. I just want to get it straight.
Is, me and you, we speak to each other more than anybody else I've talked to in my life.
Well, you got a that's different household than me.
Right. I actually live there. That's the difference. I don't just bop in, pet the dog, and leave.
That's what you said.
Thank you, Charles. What you said.
It's not what I said.
Hoya loves me. You're a big bitch, man. She's 105 now. She just came from the vet.
Really?
Yeah.
That's your dog.
Yep.
All right. I've said many times before that the NFL can't get suspensions right. And it's almost 100% conversion rate on that. But... fresh off of one that I thought they got right, Rob Gronkowski, and gave them credit for getting that one right, yesterday they went back with the same old stuff. So what do? We know that Rob Gronkowski, for the flying elbow, gets one game. Then they watch the Monday night game. They see some of the stuff that happens there. Of course, the Shazier hit was not a dirty play whatsoever. It was just a victim of circumstance and the way that he put his head down and made that tackle, and it was not great form, and he'll tell you that himself, I'm sure, if he goes back and watches it. But then you had the issues with George Iloka, the safety for the Bengals, hitting Antonio Brown helmet-to-helmet in the end zone, and then you had the crackback block from Juju Smith-Schuster on Vontaze Burfict. Now, both of these were penalties. I thought that the Iloka hit was certainly a penalty. The Juju one, not as much. Never. And maybe I'm naive. Maybe I'm not quite clear on the incompetence of the NFL. I thought I was. Never once did I think that these guys would get suspended for those hits. And I really think that what this was them looking at that game as a whole
on national TV, including the Shazier thing, the fact you had two stretchers out during the game, the history between the Steelers and the Bengals, and they said, we need to do something, we need to send a message, even if these individual instances don't really deserve suspensions, it's a bigger picture of what happened on Monday night, and I don't think that that's the right way to go about this.
They were being reactive. They didn't think the officials who oversaw that ball game went far enough. I'm in agreement with you once again. I couldn't believe that they suspended Juju Smith-Schuster. I'm sitting on their TV, and that was coming through our little news section there in the bullpen. And I said, what? They suspended him for what? Really? No, the most egregious part, and I think everyone, to a man, to a woman, agrees, taunting, standing over Vontaze Burfict, that was more egregious than the actual hit. And yes, you want to take that hit, the Ioloka hit, out of the game, but what Juju Smith-Schuster did, he went more body than he did head. And I said this yesterday, yes, they see that as a defenseless, in the same manner as they see a defenseless receiver. Well, defend your damn self. Supposed to be a football player. And I know sometimes you can't, but Vontaze Burfict can, and he knows better than that, and he should defend himself, but he didn't. But the point is that Juju Smith-Schuster, that was within the flow of the game. George Ioloka, that was within flow of the game. And that hit was more, should have been more punitive on that hit than the Juju Smith-Schuster hit. I agree there. But to juxtapose both of those incidents with what Gronk did, and they both have similar penalties, really? Are you kidding me? One was not within the flow of the game. One was as dirty as it comes. It was essentially a cheap shot. A guy's lying on his stomach, out of bounds. The play is dead. And you jump on top of him with a flying elbow. The player sustains a concussion. And you only give Gronk one game here within the flow of the game. And, yes, sometimes it's difficult to redirect your body. But it's within the flow of the damn game. And you're going to say you're suspended for a game. Unreal. That's mind-boggling. I don't understand. John Runyon, James Thrash, who are on this committee there within the league, I don't understand the rationale. And John Runyon, the former offensive lineman, as dirty as they come when he was with the Philadelphia Eagles, he talks about the taunting and unsportsmanlike of Juju Smith-Schuster standing over Vontaze Burfict. Well, if you're going to fine him for that, fine him for that. But don't suspend him, man. That's ridiculous.
Yes.
That didn't even rise to the level of suspension.
Suspension is something, suspension is one of those things where you see, like, man, he could get suspended for that. And sometimes it doesn't even happen. And I've been guilty of some of the false equivalencies in the NFL when it comes to suspensions, whether it's the domestic violence policy and the substance abuse policy, and you try to get through all that and figure out if it's fair to the player, and there's two different policies, and I can't believe he's suspending this guy for that. And sometimes that's tough to do. This one isn't tough to do, because this, to me, is the same thing with Gronk, the same thing with Juju Smith-Schuster. It's within the game. It's someone acting totally out of line, and it's another guy who makes a football play, and maybe it's a little higher than they would like.
Right.
But to be suspended is crazy. The NFL was embarrassed. There's no doubt about it by that game. And they've been embarrassed by the Steelers and the Bengals going above and beyond with the physicality and maybe a little bit of dirtiness in these matchups. And they felt like they had to do something, and they couldn't just suspend. They couldn't do anything about the Shazier hit because that had nothing to do with anything.
Right.
They couldn't suspend one team and not the other. So this is what they came up with. And I think, personally, that they've been universally crushed on this. I don't think that there is a single person that I've seen, player, analyst, fan, whomever, that thought that both of these suspensions were warranted. Mike Mitchell, Steelers safety. So Gronk elbow drops, this is on his Twitter account.
Yeah.
So Gronk elbow drops a guy off the top rope like Dusty Rhodes and gets same suspension as a guy getting a penalty making a football play. Okay, cool, NFL. Can't wait to see what you come up with next.
Yeah. He's right. They're not comparable. In no way, no how are they comparable. The Ioloka hit, the Juju Smith-Schuster hit, and Gronk. They're not even the same sport. One is as dirty as it gets. If that's not Gronk, that's someone else. That player's probably suspended 3-4 games. That I don't understand how they can square this one.
Yeah.
Two were within the field of play. bang bang plays, both of them. Maybe the Juju Smith-Schuster, he has time to rethink, you know, hitting Vontaze Burfict there. Maybe he just gets in front of him, turns his back to him. I don't know. Iloka, it's a bang bang play. You got a quick slant route. You're trying to separate the player from the ball, and you go too high. And that's within the game, though. Nothing dirty about it. And yes, you want to take those hits out of the game. You know how you send them a message? You send them that little white envelope you send to numerous players throughout the season Monday morning, and that's it. You fine them.
Penalty and a fine. That's it. I mean, suspension is just nuts.
And how do you make sense of this, NFL? How do you make sense of it, James Thrash, John Runyon, when you had a guy elbow drop another guy and the play is dead? And he doesn't see it coming.
And as far as I know, I don't know as much about Iloka, but Juju Smith-Schuster is a rookie, and he doesn't have a history of this stuff. And usually, it was first-time offender things that would happen, where it would be like, all right, first-time offender, we're going to give him a pass. And if he's a multiple offender, then we have to consider a suspension. And Mike Mitchell also tweeted out about George Iloka. He said, Steeler Nation, George Iloka is a good friend. We spend many summers training together. He's not a dirty player. Stand-up guy, just a hard-nosed, no BS player. No way was he trying to hurt AB.
Right.
Just like I know Team Juju wasn't trying to hurt 55. Football is violent.
And Juju Smith-Schuster said, you know, I wasn't. My intent was not to hurt him. But you know what your intent is as a football player? To inflict pain on the opposing player, and he knew he had him dead to rights, and he knew he could really put a lick on him. So you want to put as hard a lick as possible on the opposing player. It's football, and you wear pads for a reason. And I understand we want to take the headshots out of the game, but you still want to hurt his ass. That's the mission.
I just am laughing because I've talked about the high school football coaches I had and some of the ridiculous things they used to say to us. So you just reminded me of that.
What did I say? That's ridiculous.
You didn't say anything ridiculous. You reminded me of them saying stuff ridiculous. So that whole deal with they wear pads for a reason. If they thought that someone wasn't hitting hard enough, they used to put like ridiculous monetary values on the pads. So they'd go, you know, you got a $7,000 helmet on. You got a $4,000 pair of shoulder pads.
Oh, really?
And I was like,
I'm still in this.
I was like, yeah. I was like, if that's the case, I'm selling it. Like, I think eBay was around at that point. I was like, $7,000 helmet?
I'm selling my equipment and yours, homeboy.
There's no way this thing is worth $7,000. We used to laugh in their faces.
No, I've never heard that one. No, my coach has never put monetary value on the equipment.
Like, what does it matter? Even if it was, what does that matter? Right? Like,
I better really use it now, coach. Yeah. It's worth all that.
Right.
Like, I mean, I'm poor. I live on welfare, and I got these expensive pads on.
Right. Let's just headbutt for 2 hours. Why not?
How much is it worth now?
Yeah.
I got the other team's color scheme on my helmet. How much?
I wouldn't be surprised with the helmets now in the NFL. The ones that have the designs on them to help prevent concussions are extremely expensive. I know they've done so much technology work on them to make sure that the impacts are lessened or whatever they can do. But this is just another one of these negative stories that the NFL has had this year. And this is, and I don't think that this is one of those deals where, because it's right in our face, I'm thinking that it's one of the worst years for the NFL when it comes to PR, but it's up there. It's from the time I've been around watching it. I know we've had some other bad ones too in the past with, you know, Ray Rice and how that was just a huge deal, and Adrian Peterson. This one right here, you had a story in Ezekiel Elliott, and we both thought there wasn't enough evidence to suspend him, but you had that story. You had the back and forth with the anthem protest. You've had suspensions that I think have been bullcrap suspensions across the board. You've seen some of the rating numbers that have continued to go down for whatever reason. But the fact of the matter is that people are going to write stories about it, and they're never positive stories. There's never a ratings down positive story. This and the injuries to the stars. I know there's injuries every year, but you can go through the litany of stars that have been out. This 2017 NFL season, hopefully it has a nice storybook ending somehow from somebody winning a championship, and we're not talking about this negative stuff. But this is one of the worst years for the NFL I can ever remember.
Well, yeah, there have been a lot of things that are going on, and there have been a lot of things going on off the field as well in our world. So, and we've seen this movie before. We've gone through things, and we get through it. And there have been worse situations, maybe not so much for the NFL, you know, a culmination of this happening on the field and owners at each other's throats and the protests and now these hits and how fines are being levied and penalties are being meted out. You know, we were at that dinner the other night we have every year at Atlanta for the SEC championship game, and a number of people, Greg Sankey, commissioner of SEC, who's a big fan of the Gio and Jones show, listens to us frequently when on his morning jog, and he talked about, you know, how the Great Depression and then civil rights and how people were sitting there thinking, how the hell are we going to get through this? You're in the Great Depression, you have nothing to eat, and the market's tanked, and I mean, and the world is in a world of hurt, and then you have World War II, and then you got the civil rights movement and all the angst and anger that was prevalent at that time. It seems as though we're revisiting that, unfortunately. But we got through it, and we'll get through this crazy time in our political world. We'll get through, the NFL will get through what's swirling around their business model currently. And it just happens from time to time. And every now and then, and not just in a business sense, but even in our personal sense, as individuals, even though we don't like to go through any adversity, but we have to face it from time to time. You know, what's a sunny day if every day's a sunny day, G?
Yeah, that's fair. So you're saying you want more bad days to appreciate the good days.
No, I didn't say that.
So if you see Brian trying to ruin his day.
I just want one rainy day.
Yeah.
And that was last night. That was yesterday. No more rain, okay?
Yeah, it did pour.
You need a rainy day every now and then. That's all I'm saying.
What you said.
I know I said, Charles Buckley. I just said I just want one rainy day. That's it.
At the beginning of the year, I used to say that I don't believe anybody that says that they stopped watching the NFL. After what I've seen the last few weeks, I believe it. I am now starting to believe when people say that they don't watch the NFL as much as they used to, or they stopped watching the NFL, I now believe them.
Yeah.
So that's how bad
because
it's been.
Because of
everything.
Everything.
There's so many reasons not to watch. I'm telling you, if it wasn't for having to be here and break it all down, if it wasn't for the fantasy football interest that I have, I mean, there's just not as it's not as entertaining to me as it used to be. It actually puts me it bums me out more than it does.
What portion of it bums you out?
Well, crappy play, crappy quarterback play, bad teams. I mean, you got to search for, like, if you're a guy who doesn't have a fantasy interest or isn't gambling on games, and you're a Dolphins fan or a Broncos fan or something like that, you got to sit through that stuff? No, you're not.
So always been crappy teams. You can always have bad quarterback play.
I know, but it's just there's something about it now with it's just negative. The players and the owners hate each other. I think the commissioner sucks. It's just, I don't know. I just have a bad taste in my mouth. And football's my favorite sport. And that's one of those things where it bums me out because I love it so much. So
when do the pitches and catches report?
We got the NBA right now, and those ratings.
Baseball's my favorite sport.
Going up. Those NBA ratings, you know.
Oh, really? Talk about all the problems they have. Superstars at each other's throats.
That's not a big.
Can't
problem.
Even exit the arena without security guards.
It's going
separate
up.
Separate them.
No, that's good. That's good news. It's good stuff.
That's just the joy of winning, Greg.
Yes, it is.
Why is Charles here this morning?
I know. What's he doing? Is he in trouble?
I don't know.
Because he's inserted himself into every conversation this morning.
Joe Borgia.
Joe Borgia has nothing to do with this dude.
He's smelling blood in the water here.
Maybe he needs to go take Herm Edwards out because, I mean, he lives in that area. Take Herm out and show him the Devils.
By the way, speaking of that, Mikey B, I listened to a little bit of this yesterday. He put together that Coop press conference. So Coop, the security guard we have, make picks. Yeah. And Herm Edwards, similar in the way they speak at times.
Oh.
So Mikey B took the questions from the Arizona State press conference, put the Coop answers in there. It's hilarious. So we're going to play it coming up in a little bit. We're coming right back.
Give us a call right now, 855-212-4CBS.
You sing more to this song than anything else. You
cool
love
song.
This song.
I love the video. Got to see the video. You seen the video, Mikey B?
Great video.
Thank you.
Yeah,
wonderful. Uplifting video.
It really is unbelievable. It's an awesome video.
You're phony ass. You've seen the video.
You're right. I've never
you're
seen it.
You're having a bad day. Go watch that video. It's great. Uplifting. All these bad videos I was telling you about. Let Me Down, the video that, about the cat drowning, the car on fire.
Dude wanted to
and
kill
you
come, himself.
What's the song that you sing?
The guy wants to kill himself.
Yeah.
I want to die.
Yeah. And that
I really
want
to die.
I mean,
don't want to live.
Positive ending.
Yeah, very positive ending in that video. But, okay. Okay. But Glorious,
as Bogus has said before, he buried the lead on this.
Yes.
Because forever I didn't know that it got positive
yes.
at the end.
Yep.
It song would come on. I want to die. And I was like, okay. This is not what I need.
You thought that was it.
Right.
That was it.
When
okay, die.
18 out of the 24 hours that are dark right now. I don't need some guy singing to me how he wants to die. It's not going to work.
Got better, man.
And the sun sets today in New York City.
Let's 4:45.
No, I think it's earlier than that.
Dang!
I think it's earlier.
Huh?
I do. It is
4:27.
4:28.
Oh. No!
4:28.
Damn.
Yep. And it's even earlier out by me. 4:24. 3 minutes earlier.
I mean, why be alive? If we're being honest.
Why?
What's the point?
4:24. It's dark today. And if you take a nap, if you work weird hours like we do, yeah. you take a nap, and then you wake up in the dark like that.
Mayhem.
It's like, oh,
yeah. What is going on?
But as you say many times, first world problems.
Mm-hmm. There it is.
I'm going to watch this video and ignore Bogus while he does the update.
Glorious?
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
As I just remembered, your update's brought to you by Cremo Shaving Cream. Beards have needs. Cremo Beard Products care for your beard no matter the length. Try Cremo Beard Products available at Walmart and Target. Steeler linebacker Ryan Shazier is still in Cincinnati, spending a second night in the hospital because of a spine injury suffered on Monday Night Football. Evaluation continues, so Shazier may stay in that hospital again tonight. He tweeted, "Thanks for the support," which is, quote, "uplifting to me and my family." Teammate Juju Smith-Schuster suspended one game and lost the appeal of that suspension all yesterday for his illegal block of Vontaze Burfict on Monday night. Bengals safety George Aloka also was suspended one game for a helmet-to-helmet hit on Antonio Brown. His appeal is still pending. Rob Gronkowski's is not. The Patriot tight end will miss Monday night against the Dolphins. And Eli Manning will reportedly start for the Giants this weekend against the Cowboys. Now Oregon football needs a new coach. Willie Taggart's leaving the Ducks their one season to replace Jimbo Fisher at Florida State, reportedly for 6 years and $30 million. Taggart was the USF coach for four seasons before going to Eugene. SMU head coach Chad Morris, reportedly the favorite to replace Brett Bielema at Arkansas. And BJ, if T. Martin doesn't get that Tennessee job, maybe my Fordham Rams will take him, because head coach Andrew Briner's leaving to join Joe Moorhead at Mississippi State. Uh-huh. He will be the Bulldogs' passing game coordinator and QB coach. So get on the phones. I see you already have him out. That's good. Find me an FCS coach.
Okay.
Thanks, Brian.
Yeah. And a black one, preferably.
Not get crazy.
Phones.
Well, I told you guys yesterday Chad Morris was going to Arkansas, didn't I? Come on, breaking news right here on Geo and Jones. He's going. Told you 2 days ago he was going.
Jones on the phones.
Yeah.
See, I don't know. I don't know whether
you know what I did? I tweeted it out. Okay, I said,
that's completely different.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, well, I told somebody.
But you didn't tell us. You know what's funny is,
I told Hoya.
The new AD at Arkansas, Hunter Yurcheck, his son has attended the SMU football camp, one of his sons, the last 2 years. Mm. So, and now Yurcheck is at Arkansas, and that's why Chad Morris is going there.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, that's two times, though, that you've had some real legitimate stuff, and you haven't given it to us. You've tweeted it out instead.
My bad. What was the other time?
There was something about Scott Frost. Oh, didn't give that
that's right. I forgot about that.
I mean, what are you doing? We do this Jones on the phones, and basically you just do this Philip Fulmer just saying Philip Fulmer's not a snake.
And then you have important news.
You've got real information you forget to tell us.
Jones on the phones.
Jones in the tweets.
Well, I'll tell you now. Chad Morris is going to Arkansas. I said it 3 days ago to somebody, and so they knew.
All right, so
give me my credit.
Think really hard right now. Is there anything else that you know that you could say on the air?
Let me see.
About coaches.
Oh, about coaches. Okay. Right. Never mind that. Text. Never mind.
Carmen got a boob job.
Oh, come on, man. I didn't say that.
Surgery went fine. No, Brian, college football.
Oh, okay. No.
Okay.
All right, so we go to college hoops, and down goes number 9, Notre Dame.
7 seconds. Moses the screen. Parsons goes left. 4 seconds. Parsons a 3. Got it! Parsons, left wing 3, 1.7 seconds at the Joyce Center in South Bend.
Joel Gaudette on the Ball State Cardinals radio network. Those Cardinals led by Taylor Parsons with an 80-77 win at Notre Dame, their first defeat of a ranked team in 16 years. Sixth-ranked Wichita State avoiding the upset, outscoring South Dakota State by 18 in the second half to win 95-85. Third-ranked Michigan State escaped Rutgers 62-52. Number 4, Villanova down. Number 12, Gonzaga 88-72 at the Jimmy V Classic at the Garden. And number 18, West Virginia beat 15th-ranked Virginia 68-61. Mikey, you're not alone.
Josh Jackson, corner 3, no good. Rebound DeRozan.
I believe that was Paul Jones on Raptors Radio. He got Josh Jackson out, but then corner 3 tripped him up.
That's just not fair. I might have had a great broadcast, man. I don't know what.
Josh Jackson.
Picking on him, man. Just not fair. It's 5 seconds of a 3-hour game. That's just terrible.
Josh Jackson.
Oh, man.
Trying to make Mike feel good.
Sure you
are. Oh, you're great at that. Real mensch over there.
The Raptors did win that game 126-113 over the Suns. The Thunder won their third straight 194 over the Jazz, and Washington won in Portland 106-92 behind a career-high 51 from Bradley Beal.
I didn't think too much previous games. I was just thinking way too much out there, you know, instead of playing my game, and that's what I did tonight. You know, I just put everything on the table, and regardless if I made shots, missed shots.
Yeah. He took 37 shots, hit 21 of them to get to those 51 points. The Warriors will reevaluate Steph Curry in 2 weeks. There is no structural damage in his right ankle, which he hurt Monday night in New Orleans. And on ice, the Red Wings handled the Jets 5-1 to snap their 7-game losing streak. The Blues snapping the Canadiens' 5-game winning streak 4-3. Guys?
All right, Bogus, thanks.
Thank you, Bogus.
Clinton Portis and Santana Moss were on NBC Washington, not C anything. I was going to say CSN, but it's not. NBC Washington. And they were talking about drinking before games.
Yeah.
So let's take a listen to that.
Myself, Santana, and Sean, prior to the game, we would take a little shot, like, take
vodka.
A little shot.
Vodka? What are you taking for a shot of?
We were drinking Hennessy. So me, Santana, and Sean, we did this for a year and a half before anyone knew. It was never 2, 3, 4 shots. It was, you know what? Here it go. Let's go bean. Let's go ball.
Right.
From that point, we did it every game.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Coach Zorn come in and... Oh, yeah, guys are taking sips for Sean.
It bothered me when that happened, too, because we was doing it way prior to him getting here, and it got to the wrong people.
So I'd never heard this story before.
Yeah, because it wasn't meant to be told. I mean, it's something that we just did that we didn't want it to be magnified. We didn't want it to be about us because we did it, and we went out there and played the game and football the way we know how to play.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Taking shots before a game. You know what? If it's one shot before a game, I was thinking about this. One shot, take the edge off, a little nervous.
I told you guys I had a teammate that did that.
Yeah, would drink just
Hennessy.
One. Yeah,
he'd have a shot.
Just a shot,
But he'd do it at halftime, too.
Well, see, that's a little. Now we're getting a little.
Yeah.
That's maybe too much.
Yeah.
How much do you think you could drink? How many drinks do you think you could drink and still play like you would sober?
Probably help me play.
You think it would?
No, it wouldn't.
Well, that's what people said about Josh Gordon, and that he was so good when he was drunk that maybe it
was
helped.
Was he drunk?
Him.
I think he was high than he was drunk.
Both. I mean,
prior to the game.
How many drinks? I'm going to say no more than 2.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just a 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's tough. Because it slows down everything as you well know.
Yeah.
Your motor skills, everything. It slows you down. You got to move fast. You want those fast twitch muscles if you possess them working at optimal speed.
And Brian takes a shot of Hennessy before every show.
Sometimes.
So, yeah.
No, I've never been a Hennessy fan. One time, and it didn't go well. No, I was Jack. Didn't go well.
I used to be a fan of that. And when I thought that it was the cool thing to do when I was in my early 20s with the cognac.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Henny.
Yeah, it's still... A lot of people still
can't do that now.
Whew. I can't do dark liquors.
Man, I tell you.
No. I was never a Hennessy cognac fan.
To go to a little liquor store in North Belport.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the street cred part of my life
comes in. Do tell.
Right. I go to the liquor store in North Belport, mm-hmm. get the little thing of Hennessy.
Yep.
And then I'd go with my friends on the train into the city, you know, drink that. We'd go
just
out.
Straight up. No Coke, nothing.
Tough,
straight
man.
Hennessy.
That's Ooh. Why I got so much hair on me now.
Man.
Damn.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's what I would do.
Hey. Oh, and man. You fit in. Up.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Wore my Fat Farm jeans.
Did you really?
I had Fat Farm
you
jeans.
You had Fat Farm jeans?
Yeah, they were like reflector kind of. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You were hip.
Yep. I had a couple Fat Farm button downs, too. With yeah. like the prints on them.
Yeah.
It was one that was like...
And that's P-H-A-T, folks.
Right now, I'm wearing F-A-T. Farm.
Damn.
So, but, yeah, I had that stuff. I had some Rock-A-Ware stuff.
Oh, cool.
I had a giant Rock-A-Ware.
They were huge.
Oh, my
God. I used to wear
all
this, like, Carl Kanai and all that stuff.
Yeah, that was too black for me. Yeah,
Carl Kanai was too black for you?
Yeah, it was too
black. But Fat Farm was not.
It was not, no. No, it was not.
Mm.
Yeah, Carl Kanai, if I was what that would be. That'd be a little bit too much.
That's not too much.
That would be ridiculous.
It's in the same category.
Hmm.
FUBU, Carl Kanai, Fat Farm.
FUBU's another one I probably couldn't. Because of For Us Bias, I couldn't pull that off. It was to me, it was just Fat Farm and Rock-A-Ware. Those were the two. I love those button downs, man. It's so funny how that was like a thing in high school.
Yeah.
Well, racism so prevalent, but yet... We were taking all our cues from black culture.
Exactly.
Isn't that unbelievable?
That's how the world works.
Right. Like I've got friends that get nervous if there's more than one black person in the same restaurant as them that would wear, you know, that would listen to Jay-Z, wear Timberlands. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
It's okay for, you know, them to entertain us and for us to dress like them, but that's it. Right. Before we cut it off.
Yeah, that's so true, right? But did you try to marry my sister? And there's a big problem.
Don't you come over here. We don't swing that way.
Oh, that's remarkable.
Yeah.
Okay. What do we got?
We went down memory lane.
We did go down memory lane. Yes. I might have dressed blacker than you at
one point. No, you didn't. No. I don't think so. And I transitioned because my buddies ridiculed me because I'd wear these Levi's. You know, I'm a country boy from Texas. I'd have my tight Levi's on and all that. They used to call me tight balls. And so,
hey, tight balls.
Roman Pfeiffer won a couple championships
with the
Patriots, and our late good friend Eric Turner, one of the best football players I've ever seen and played with. Yeah, that's the nickname they gave me.
That's great.
So I had to switch up my game, dog.
Ever tell you the time that Roman Pfeiffer called me tight balls?
Yep.
All right,
they were killing me.
So LeVar Ball is blaming somebody for LiAngelo and the other players shoplifting in China. And you're going to be shocked to hear who that is.
Yeah.
Coming right back.
Greg Giannotti, Brian Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I told you that a lot of times I've been entertained by LeVar Ball's antics in the media, but there's some things that really do turn me off. And one of the things that he has done recently with homeschooling LaMelo Ball and now pulling LiAngelo Ball out of UCLA, I think is doing some major damage to his kids. But how about this now? He said that the coaches at UCLA... They deserve to be accountable for the players shoplifting in China. He goes, there's no accountability to them. And he said, without naming them, LeVar was critical of Steve Alford and his staff for placing blame on the players. He goes, let's stand up to bat for the players and say you're the coach. Coaches are making enough money. They got to hold some accountability. And that, to me, is just insanity for him to take that route in this. And to really gives you insight into how warped his mind truly is, where he's trying to place blame on the coaches and trying to get them in trouble for one of his kids doing something unbelievably stupid.
Well, he's flailing about trying to reconcile why he withdrew his son from UCLA, and it makes no sense. Whichever avenue he chooses to take, whichever excuse he uses to take, whether it's that they've been sitting long enough and China forgave them, they gave the stuff back, or the coaches, they didn't have strong enough rules when they take the team to China. There are 15 guys on that roster. Only three thought it was a smart idea to go to three different stores and steal. So they did a good enough job with the other 12, just not with these three knuckleheads. And you should have some accountability. And I know there are a lot of good parents out there. You do the right thing. You teach your kids the right way to do things. And sometimes they get out of line. That's what happened here. He may be a great father. His wife may be a great parent. But, you know, all those proper lessons they have taught LiAngelo, they went awry once he got to China. And sometimes you follow the crowd and you can get in trouble. Or maybe LiAngelo was a leader. I don't know. But to sit here and now try to blame this on the coaches and their lack of accountability is ridiculous. Many missteps by them and the brass there at UCLA and their approach and how they communicated and how transparent they were when things were going on in China. But to hold them accountable for your son going to a foreign country and becoming a thief is ridiculous. And I am almost positive as I'm sitting here that prior to them getting on that plane, both teams, Georgia Tech and UCLA, there were conversations had about how things work in China as opposed to America. And I would think they didn't have to bring up, you know, you contemplating stealing something. But there were conversations that were had. This is a communist country. Things work a little differently here than they do in America. We're going there essentially for a business trip to play basketball. So just know that. And yet these three thought otherwise, and you have what you had. So this is a ridiculous notion on the part of LeVar Ball, and once again, flailing around, trying to make sense when there's only one avenue you can take, and that's that these guys needed to be suspended, and they should sit there as long as this university and the head of that basketball program, Steve Alford, sees fit.
Steve Alford, when asked about LiAngelo Ball no longer being at UCLA, he said, "I don't think I'm angry. I think it was more surprised." If you're looking for one word, maybe it's surprise because it's nothing we saw coming. LiAngelo has been, since coming back from China, he's been tremendous. He's been to all of his classes. He's been to all the tutors, all the mentors. He's done exactly what's been asked of him. End quote. So that just hammers home the point that it's LeVar that's messing up a lot of stuff. Now, I'm not saying that LiAngelo doesn't deserve to be suspended. I told you what I thought about that. But since coming back, he's fulfilling all his responsibilities, going about it the right way. He hasn't had any negative quotes out there. He's not slamming anybody.
No.
He's doing what he needs to do to get back out there. And here you have the puppeteer taking him out of there and probably hurting him in the long
run. To our point, he's been an excellent parent. He's raised his boys the right way. They're respectful. I mean, other than the young one using the N-word at the WWE match. And LiAngelo's doing everything that's asked of him. And he can't be with the team. He can use the facilities. All three suspended players can use the facility. But they can't be with the team, and Coach Alford has been communicating via text messages, making sure you know they're getting the class and everything's all right. And I don't understand the why there's such a rush by LeVar Ball to get his son from underneath this suspension. His son put himself in this position, allow it to him to ride it out. This could be a great lesson for him, and I think it already has been a great lesson for him. Now, you want to inject yourself into the conversation and into the situation, and you're making it worse. You're making it worse. I think the young man, all the young men involved are learning a valuable lesson here. And now, of all the three kids, the only parent that's now embroiled in making this worse than it was is LeVar Ball.
Yeah, and I wonder how his story progresses and how it ends. I was thinking that Lonzo Ball was going to be better than he was right off the bat, because I've seen some of these rookies and these guys just sort of take the world by storm. I thought he would do that, and because he was playing so well, that you wouldn't hear so much from LeVar, and there's more stuff on that, and I'm just so tired of him and his opinions on the Lakers. When they're trying to limit him, he still finds a way. But anyway, so I thought that he'd go away in that regard, and then the shoplifting in China thing happened, and then you got LaMelo, who's a bigger prospect than the middle brother. I mean, will it get to a point where he's just there? Like, he's going to be a part of our everyday sports lives like anybody else, or will this dissipate at some point? I really don't know the answer to that. I mean, I guess the easiest way for him to go away would be if all these guys just totally flunk out of whatever they do.
If they fail.
Yeah.
Even then, I don't think you would get rid of him immediately. He's going to come back and make excuses like he's doing now, blaming the coaching staff for the problems of his son and the others. So he wouldn't immediately just go somewhere and hide and be under the radar. He's going to still be out there banging the drum and coming up with these faulty excuses for why his sons, or in this instance, one son, has failed.
Now for some good news. Ryan Shazier tweeted yesterday, and he was thanking everybody for the thoughts and the prayers and all of the good things that were said to him and about him after suffering that injury on Monday Night Football. So there was a joint statement that was released by the Steelers and some of the doctors who have been helping him out. And basically, I think in layman's terms, they're focusing on the spinal contusion, and the next couple days with the swelling going down is really going to determine how severe this is going to be, whether he's going to be able to play at some point in the future or what have you. But he's not totally out of the woods yet, but it does seem like this isn't an instant paralysis situation that could have been, because
He's lucky.
Yeah, it seems like that now. I don't want to. They're being very careful with the language with it, but it does seem like there's more positive right now than negative.
Yeah, he clearly lowered his head, and here's a guy who knows how to play the game, and just in that instance, didn't use proper technique, lowered his head, the crown of his head collides with the midsection of the ball carrier. I believe it was Malone, what's his last name, the ball carrier at that time for the Bengals, and Josh Malone, wide receiver. And it's just unfortunate, because sometimes you find yourself in a perilous situation where you don't use proper technique. And we've seen guys reach out and tear a bicep or a pectoral muscle, and you're not supposed to do that. But in those moments, it happens, and this is just unfortunate, and hopefully he continues to progress and gets healthier.
All right, coming up next, we've got some more college football coaching news with Willie Taggart on the move. What do we think about that? And what's the best fit there at Oregon now that Taggart is gone? It's Gio and Jones. Keep right here on CBS Sports Radio.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America, decade by decade, from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.